1 Timothy chapter 5. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with all purity." Father, we are grateful for this evening again. Thank you for the time of worship, and thank you for the time of prayer, and thank you for your word. Open up our hearts, God, that we can receive with gladness what you have for us now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The Lord knew that we needed instruction about a church and a church family, and obviously we see the book of Acts, and we see the church coming together, but the epistles are written to give us instruction of how to relate to God, how to relate to each other. The pastoral epistles is what we're studying right now in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and Titus. So speaking about leadership in the church and how does that work? So in 1 Timothy chapter 5 is where we're at today. The church family is coming together. And as a church family is coming together, we're needing to learn how do we live in a community. What happens is we live in close proximity to one another, but it's very difficult to experience community living. Today we say, because of our media devices, that we're more connected than ever before. And that's so true. But we're not communicating. We're not relating. We're not experiencing what it is to be a family and a community. I remember, and I've shared this before, as a support officer responding to a call. A support officer in Whatcom County goes with the police officers or sheriffs, especially when somebody has died. This was out in the Everson area. As I went to the house, the officers and paramedics left. The individual who died was still in the back room, dead. And what I thought was his wife up front, and as I began to talk to her and just felt so sad that she had experienced this, she seemed to be not really moved to great sorrow. It concerned me. They were living together, not married. Says, "I'd like to get a hold of some other family members. It's important at this time. Maybe there's a son or a daughter, a relative." She goes, "No, he's destroyed every relationship that he's had. No one wants to be around him." Well, that hurt me, because there certainly has to be somebody. I go, "Where does he hang out at?" And she told me of a bar down the road. And I says, "If you just wait here, I'll go down there and find some people there." And she says, "Even there, he's ruined all the relationships." "So there's nobody?" She says, "No." So what happened was, they came and picked up his body, and that was it. They just took his body, they would cremate it, and there'd be a state burial. I was so sad, thinking, wow, what a waste. And I'm wondering, when we're looking at this, what should we learn tonight? Well, Paul is speaking to Timothy, and obviously there's an age difference there. And he says, "Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father." So it's speaking about fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters, a family. It's very important that when we see here the older man, you know, I'm moving in that range right now. Some say you already are in that range, but I've seen other pastors speak about a pastor older than themselves in a very condescending, hurtful way. That's, the scripture says it's forbidden not to do that at all. There's a way that we relate, just like we would relate to the older woman, like a mom, like a mother, like a mom, to treat her that way in a fellowship. For the brothers that aren't the older men, but the brothers, there's just a different way that brothers can relate to brothers, like you would in a house. You can kind of get after it a little bit, still be brothers. It's good. And for the young women, sisters, with all purity. So we have to realize that a sister in the Lord, needs to be treated with absolute purity. Within the family of God, if that isn't taking place, then it's like incest, spiritually speaking, in the family of God. That is a little bit jolting, I know, when I say that, but we have to have that sense of understanding of the level of purity. Now, in verse 3, as he looks at situations in the church, how do we handle people within the body of Christ? And he says, honor the widows who are really widows. And he's going to explain what that is. So obviously, losing a spouse, you become a widow. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before the Lord. So a situation happens, and what we're looking at here is not looking to turn to the state or an entitlement or anything like that. How do we do this? What's a good biblical way? Well, a very common way is someone brought these children into the world, took care of them for a number of years, and if something's happening, there's a widow now, and there's other family, other children that could be of help and assistance, that's the first thing you want to see happen. You want to see the family be able to take care of such a situation. In verse 5, now she who is really a widow, he's again defining it, and left alone, trusts God and continues in supplication and prayers night and day. They're going to show us that there's a situation of an age. Notice verse 9, do not let a widow under 60. So this widow back in verse 5, a real widow, one that is over 60, that she continues to trust in God. She continues in supplication and prayers. She's using her life for the glory of God. And what Paul is saying to Timothy, there's ways that you want to be responsible in ministering and caring for people within the body of Christ. As you are very aware, there's always going to be unlimited amount of needs, but always limited resources. The work is great, the workers are few. That doesn't mean we stop. We keep going, we keep praying, we keep trusting, we keep believing, we keep asking God. But he set up this equation. In life, there's always going to be more opportunities, more need than there are workers. So, yeah, I think that's good. So, verse 5 again. Who's a real widow? She's trusting, she's believing, and a ministry wants to be able to help such a person. Verse 6, but she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. Again, you're going to see a variety of responses after a difficult situation, after one becomes a widow. Verse 7, and these things command that they may be blameless. But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So he's giving us clear instructions that we must, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, especially with our own family, be able to take care of those households. And when he says, if we deny, we're worse than an unbeliever. So we can't ignore or walk away or not pay attention, because in doing so, I look like an unbeliever. And Paul is coming back to Timothy, and these churches are being established. Remember in Acts chapter 6, they weren't able to meet the needs for the people and the feeding of those that needed food. He begins to put in place a way to handle that. And as he's looking here and he's seeing the church and he's seeing what's going on and he's seeing the commitment. And remember, in these times, there wasn't much of an opportunity for women to be resourceful in this type of situation and to work. Most of the work that was paid work was 99% probably men at this time. So what a situation that a woman who lost her husband, and what is she going to do? And so he's saying the church has a part. However, the family has a part. However, what age is she and where is she at? Is there the possibility of providing for herself or others providing for her? He's saying to us in verse 8, as a believer, we need to really consider how to be benevolent to our own family. If we're not, then we're worse than an unbeliever. Verse 9, do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man, well reported for good works. If she has brought up children, if she's lodged strangers, if she's washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. So he's saying, and we're so blessed. The church would be so crippled without the ministry of women in the body of Christ. It's so much a blessing. And he begins to elaborate just on how women have cared for the body of Christ. Think about Jesus. Think about his life and ministry. There were a number of women that were with him in his ministry, taking care and meeting practical needs. As a matter of fact, when it came down to the end, it was the women that were at the cross there before Jesus. And that shows to me, at a time where the men fled, we know John was there, but the women were there. And it shows me the kind of heart that those women must have had. In that whole setting, as vile as it was, and we read about it, they're the ones that stayed there. They're the ones that wanted to take care of the body of Jesus. It's the women that went in, even during his public teaching in the house, and broke down before Jesus and took the most costly bottle of perfume. They say that this would be like your future resources. The money was in this container through this fragrance. And she broke it, and she poured it out upon the Lord. She washed his feet with her tears, dried with her hair. Those that were in the room protested. They said, well, this money could have been used for such a greater benevolent purpose. And Jesus rebuked them. And he says, what she's done today, we will always remember. And the fragrance of that sacrifice by this woman that filled the room of this most costly perfume, it's that kind of fragrance that fills this room today. A broken life poured out for Jesus. And it wasn't a matter of what it cost or didn't cost. It's, he owned me. And I'll be broken humbly before him. I'll pour out my life. And I've been around many of you. And there is that sweet fragrance of Jesus. That's the perfume coming from your life. Your love for him in your service for others, it fills the room with a wonderful fragrance. Paul is telling Timothy, as we go on through life, people die. They come home to be with the Lord. Others are left, and especially the women. How do we take care of them? So there's specific instructions for taking care of a widow. there's also instructions and principles. So some of the principles thus far is, we always want to take care of our own, in our own family, within our own church family. Again, the needs are tremendous outside of here, around the world. Around the world. It's just, you see around the world what's going on in your heart. But we must make sure we're taking care of the family of God. And then he says, for the women, if you follow with me, in verse 11, but refuse the younger widows, for when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they cast off their first faith, and besides they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not to say. Therefore I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some have already turned aside after Satan. His counsel is this: if a woman's husband dies and she's left alone, if she's under the age of 60 or younger widows they speak about, it would be good if she could be married, remarried, married again. Be good if she could have children. It would be a blessing. It would be good. It would be God's way of blessing her and providing for her. It would be good. And he's saying that because as the older one has lived through life, at 60 and older, lived through life, has lived through a lot of situations, probably more conformed to the things of God, more given over in a directed way, understanding the best thing I can do right now is I don't have desires necessarily to this 60-year-old or older to, you know, for a family to be married. My desires, I just want to serve God. I want to help the body of Christ. I want to do that. It's things that I did as I was, you know, earlier on in my life and marriage life here, the woman, this was what I want to do. And Paul says, but if you're younger, that's going to be a difficult thing because you're still wanting that aspect, the normal aspect, the God-given aspect of a young woman without a husband. You want to be married and you want to have that husband. You want to have children. God's giving you that desire. And if you don't pursue that, if you don't move in that direction, he's saying, we've seen what happens. You move out and you use your time unwisely and you do things that really take you away from the body of Christ. That's what he's saying. And so, for some already have turned after Satan. If, verse 16, believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them, and do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are really widows. He's just again speaking very kindly, very practically to us. He's saying as a body of believers, and it's so important, many times people look to the government, meet my needs, or look to the church, and he's just saying, just look to one another. As best as you can be used by God to care for those in your own family or to others that you're aware of, it's really a great thing. In the body of believers, church also has a responsibility to make sure that these widows are being taken care of. So as a body of believers and as a family, we must show respect to the older men and the older women, to the brothers, to the sisters, to the younger men and younger girls. Purity in all these family relationships. As I said on Sunday, we must break through what we see happening right now. The vile, gross types of things that are being communicated from the top leadership of our nation, other leaders, and just all around. And it comes in through radio and TV, and all of a sudden, what we've created in our society is very sad. We must be different as a body of believers. We must resist that type of behavior. We must show respect. We must show love. And we must be willing to demonstrate it in the most practical ways, because the family, the body of Christ, is the greatest testimony that Jesus Christ exists today and that the Bible is real. It's your life and it's His church that bear the greatest testimony. I'm thankful for our fellowship, excited about the work ahead that He has for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful. This evening we see, even from your word, how in some earlier sections we see the deity of Christ presented, and yet here we see the practical way that Christ wants us to treat others. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the blessing of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.